Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We are back in Newport, Rhode Island on a Flex Friday, and we are here for Audrain Newport Concours Motor Week. And, well, guys, how about a round of applause for our guests here?
Thank you, young people. Thank you.
We are here with the chairman of the Audrain Automobile Museum, Nick Shorts, and with probably one of the greatest entertainers of our
of our
lifetime.
Yeah, that's why I'm here at 8 o'clock in the morning.
the great Jay Leno.
Well, thank you, show people.
I appreciate you doing the show. I didn't think after last year you'd come back.
So. No, I had a lot of fun last year. It was great. We had a good time.
Well, we had this event is great, and I know that that both of you do a lot getting ready for.
Oh yeah, well, you know, New England just makes me laugh. It's like the funniest place in the world. Like we're up here, so it makes me. This is the only car show. What, you got a Chevelle? What, you think you're better than me? You got a Chevelle? No, I'm here for the car show. No, yeah, what, do you think you're better than me? No, I don't. We both have to, just makes me laugh. It's like funny.
Well, I was dying last night because you said this happens to you a lot, but there's a guy, Jeremy, here, who said to me last night, he goes, hey, Jay Leno bought this car from my uncle in Tewksbury. And so then I said, well, I'll bring you up. And he said, no, I've never purchased a car.
I've never bought a car in Tewksbury. For some reason, I like Tewksbury. It's a lovely area. I just don't buy cars there. I don't know what to tell you. You know, where's the car? Oh, Tewksbury. No. Yeah. I like that. But that's the funny part, because people go, hey, you know, my cousin New Hampshire, he paints all your cars. I live in California. Yeah, but he does all your painting. I don't send him to New Hampshire to get painted. Plus, I have a paint shop in my. Yeah, we painted it. He goes, no, but he does them all. Yeah, okay, you know, like the cousin couldn't be wrong. I got it.
I did hear somebody was telling me last night that you wrote a piece in some publication about a guy who you met 40 years ago.
Oh, that's
who had a motorcycle.
This is classic English. Okay, I like motorcycles. There's a British motorcycle called the Brough Superior. It was the fastest motorcycle of the 20s. It was guaranteed to 100 miles an hour, which in the 20s was like crazy. Lawrence of Arabia owned 8 of them. That's how they sort of got famous off of him. He would write about his exploits. Okay. So I'm down in Austin, Texas, 1988, and this guy says to me, hey, you like motorcycles? I'm like, yeah, I've got a Brough Superior. I bought it in a box for $1,300 back in the 70s. And what are you going to do with it? He says, well, I'm going to store it. What are you going to, well, after a store, I'll probably sell it. I said, well, tell you what, let me know when you finish it, and maybe I'll buy it from you. Okay, great. 1988. 2 months ago, he shows up in my garage. And he pulls in. Hey, can I help you? Yeah, it's done. What? The bike. What? I'm sorry. All right. I said, okay, how's it run? He goes, I don't know. I wanted you to be the first one to start it. What, you haven't even run it yet. No. All right. So we take it out of the trailer, you know. And, you know, it's beautiful. I mean, he did an unbelievable job. Because it was called the 680, and they weren't very reliable when they were new. They had certain problems that the factory never fixed, and he fixed all those problems. So I kick it twice, it runs fine. I go, okay, I guess I have to buy it now? He goes, yeah, you said you're going to buy it. All right, I mean, I bought it. And then I had it about a month, and I think, let me kind of give him a hard time. So I call him up in Texas. I go, hey, listen, you know, I wish you'd taken another 10 or 15 years just to go over it and tighten. He goes, you know, I was thinking of doing that, but I wanted to get it to right. you sooner. I go, well, I appreciate that. Get it to me while I'm only 75 years old.
So it took the man 40 years to...
That's called an English restoration, yes.
Yeah, all right.
That's the way the English do it. Yeah, hilarious. Nobody funnier than the English.
How many automobiles are here this week?
We have 220 on the field for the Concours, and I think we'll have probably 35 today over at the Tennis Village, which is the Motor Village this weekend.
Yeah.
And they're all out this morning. It opens at 10 o'clock, and they're all race cars. So we go all the way from F1 all the way back to Indianapolis cars from the 30s.
Yeah.
And that's going to be another 30 cars, and then the gathering will be about 200 more over Rough Point starting this morning.
Well, you know the coolest thing about this event, and this is something we started here in Rhode Island. You go to these car shows, it's all old guys with gray hair, and it's fun, till daddy takes the tape out of the way. And you see young people just run.
Yeah.
They go, what is that crap? It's like fingernails on a blackboard. They can't stand it. So we started a class called 30 Under 30. If you're 30 years or younger and you've restored any car for less than $30,000, you can be in the show. And these kids show up with their cars. They're so proud of them, you know. I mean, you've got your BMW from the 90s parked next to Mercedes and Ferraris, and these kids are so happy to be part of it. It really brings them into the fold, you know, because they don't really relate to Countaches and Lamborghinis because that wasn't the car when they were kids, you know.
Yeah.
So it really makes a lot of fun to get a lot of these nine cars that, to me, just look like the Walmart parking lot. But, you know, if you're 40 now, oh, the 90s were a hot time. They were cool cars. So it's a lot of fun to have this new class just to get this kind of much young blood coming into the
hobby. And that's really taken off because we have now four 30 under 30 classes.
Wow. Oh, that's awesome.
And they have them out on the field next to a Duesenberg or a Bugatti, or an old Bugatti.
Yeah.
And sitting next to some of the great royalty of you know, classic car concourses, and they learn from them. And it's really a great bonding experience for them.
Jay, I think you hate this question, but because I asked it last year, I think, how many cars do you have now?
Oh, I think I gave you the same answer. You sound like my wife. There's a lot of cars. I mean, I do that thing. Now, honey, you remember this? When it used to be blue, remember? Oh, you painted it? Yeah. I just painted it, honey.
So she doesn't want you spending the money on the car.
You know, no, she's fine. She's fine. You know, Italy, you know, it's still cheaper than hookers and cocaine.
Everyone needs a vice.
No, I say to my wife, honey, just... Look at Charlie Sheen, okay? Look, compare the two of us. I come home reeking of transmission fluid, which is easier to deal with than, you know, coke and all this other kind of stuff.
That is true.
No, it is true.
But, I mean, the 80s were quite a decade.
Because they always know where you are, you know. There's an old golf joke that is a good comparison to the car hobby. This guy's playing golf on Saturday, you know, and he's supposed to be home at 5. Well, God, it's 10 minutes to 6. He's driving home. He sees a woman with a flat tire. I got a flat tire. I only live a mile. The guy goes, I'll change it for you. He changed the tire. Here you go. He also said to go, can you follow me home if I have another? And she's just hysterical. You know, the guy goes, oh, okay. You're not going to get a flat in a mile on that. Well, what if I do? All right. He follows her home. They get to her house. She goes, can I offer you a drink? Just to say thank you. My wife's waiting. Now, just one drink. The guy has a drink, then another drink. Then they wind up in bed.
Oh, God.
Now they're having sex.
Yeah.
Now it's 11 o'clock at night. He's like, oh, what an idiot. I ruined my life. You know, I'm not going to live a lie. I just got to tell my wife what happened. I don't care. I'm not going to live a lie. He pulls in. The wife's got her arms folded in the driveway. Where were you? Honey, I was coming home with someone with a flat tire. She asked me to change it. I changed it for her. And then she said, could you follow me home? All right. I said, here you go. And she said, can I give you a drink? I got to go. My wife's away. I just wonder. Had a drink. Had another drink. Then we wound up in bed and had sex. The wife goes, you're a damn liar. You play another round of golf.
That's the way that would go.
Yeah, that's the way that goes. Same thing with the car hobby. Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, he still got it.
Yeah.
Do you still like go out and do stand up? I know you used to show up.
Yeah, that's how I make a living. Oh, I'm sorry. I should have cleared that up. Yeah, I hosted a TV show for a number of years.
You did?
Yeah, yeah.
Was it called The Tonight Show?
The Tonight Show, yeah. That's right.
But do you still show up like at the Comedy Store or something?
I was here Tuesday night. We did a show for the charity. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so you still do it because you love it.
Yeah, well, here's his joke you'll like.
Yeah.
Three rich guys in Miami playing golf, you know. They go, we need a fourth. And they see a plumbing truck pull up. Guy gets out. He got his golf bag. How about that guy? Well, he's not really our class of people. I mean, the guy goes, look, let's invite him. You want to join? Oh, thanks, fellas. Guy says, listen, my club's not. I just had to make a phone call. Okay. Goes in and make a phone call. Meanwhile, the three rich guys start talking. One rich guy says, hey, how's your boy doing? He goes, oh, he's unbelievable. You know, he's in real estate. Here's how well he's doing. He gave his best friend a brand new condo, all expenses paid, free and clear. Oh, it's unbelievable. How's your boy doing? Well, my son, he's probably the biggest BMW dealer in southern Florida. You know, he handles all the cars. In fact, he gave his best buddy a brand new top-of-the-line BMW, fully loaded, every option. That's unbelievable. Third guy. How about your kid? Well, like me, he's a stockbroker. Well, here's how well he's doing. His best friend, he gave him a $100,000 stock portfolio, absolutely free. God, this is unbelievable. Then the plumber comes back in. They go, hey, ready to play golf? They go, we're just talking about a kid. You got a kid? Yeah, I got a son. He's 22. What does he do? He's a gay dancer at a nude male strip club in Fort Lauderdale. And the three guys go, really? Is there any money in that? Oh, yeah. One guy gave him a condo. Another guy gave him a BMW. Another guy...
Okay. Yeah, don't ever stop doing it. What did you – I've been so curious since
– So curious.
But what did you make of the Jimmy Kimmel stuff?
Look, it's a free speech deal. I agree with Jimmy. You know, Jimmy and I are friends. We've had our differences and stuff. It's fine. But, I mean, you can't just take a guy off the air because you don't like a joke he did about you. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, you have to support that. I mean, the whole country is based on that. I mean, political discourse and satire is the whole basis of America. It's the only country in the world you can do that. You can't do it in North Korea. You can't do it in a lot of countries. You just get arrested, you know? And so to me, and I think ABC realized how stupid that was just to pull it off there. Because now you got people never watched the show are now watching the show because they don't like the indignity of it. You know?
Yeah. Johnny Carson did that famous 60 Minutes interview. I'm sure you've seen it.
Oh, yeah.
Where he said he never went political.
Well, Reagan used to get mad at him because he'd do his Reagan impression all the time. And Reagan would kind of, hey, could you lay off there a little bit? that was basically my thing at the time, too. Well, we live in an era now where everybody has to know what you had for lunch, and let's see a picture of it, and, you know, just all this kind of stuff. But, yeah, it was a different time.
So you tend to try to find something funny as opposed to going...
Well, you try to humiliate and degrade equally on both sides, you know?
Yeah. Smart. Yeah.
It's pretty easy to do, I think.
Both sides. And it makes it more fair, you know, because people are just waiting for you to make some tiny error. It's hilarious.
Yeah. When you look at that job... and it's way different, I think, now just because of the lives that everybody leaves and the way people consume.
It's not different. It's the same job.
But it's not consumed the way it used to be consumed.
Write joke, tell joke, get check. Very simple process. There's nothing harder than writing a joke.
Yeah.
But if you can get around it by giving your opinion or talking about an issue or whatever it might be, whew, got out of writing. It's hard to write jokes. It's a lot of work. Half the time they don't work and whatever it might be. So that's right. If you just concentrate on the jokes, you'll probably do okay.
Did you, all your years on The Tonight Show, do you have a favorite guest?
Oh, I had a lot of favorite guests. I like politicians. That was fun. You know, Sean Connery. Yeah, I love Sean Connery. Because Sean Connery was not James Bond. I mean, he was a longshoreman. He was Mr. Universe, third runner-up, 1953. And he would fight at the drop of a hat. He would just fight anybody. Yeah, I think Scotland should put... Ah, look, I swallow it all. No, no. He would just go into a tirade, you know. And I would have him on, and he would come and he'd go, Jay, what's the latest filthy joke going about, Jay? You know? And I would tell him the joke. and he would laugh like a pirate. And he would actually slap his knee. You know, they would say something to me. I never saw anybody actually slap their knee. And he was like a loud guy, you know.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We had these little tiny showers in the dressing room. Nobody ever used them, except Sean Connery. But he'd get in there with a bar and say, "Well, Scotland before you, I'll take the high road." And the news crew would come down and go, "Who's yelling? We're trying to do the news. It's Sean Connery in the show. You go tell him to shut up."
Connery in the Tonight Show shower.
It's so interesting you bring up free speech, especially when it comes to what's going on right now. A lot of stand-up comedians are in hot water with the Saudi Arabia stuff. Where do you fall on that? Them getting a check to be able to go over
Here's
there?
Here's my thing. I don't criticize other comics.
Right.
I don't like this thing now where other comics are attacking him for doing what they... You know, so look... If your wife just had a baby or whatever it might be, and you're not working, and you do a show. I mean, they're not giving an opinion.
Yep.
They're just doing what they do.
Right.
Okay? I mean, I didn't go. I turned it down. But that's fine. That's fine. I love Bill Burr. I love Chappelle. All these guys are great. I don't think it's any big deal.
But you turned the money down.
Yeah, first of all, I have other reasons, too. You know, I'm kind of caretaker from where I have. So to me, to go to Saudi Arabia for a fun-filled weekend in Saudi Arabia, you know.
You can't do that.
Oh, you ever been there?
No.
It is hilarious.
Wiggy wants to go.
Yeah, I love the Saudis. They got that long money.
Well, the money that never runs out. Well, I went there for Desert Storm the first time, and I brought my wife. And I had to bring her in as a temporary man. Her passport... has her picture, and it says temporary man. She had to come in as temporary man. Okay, so this is a Riyadh. And then we go to this restaurant, right? So he sits down. You know those dressing things, that, like in the old West, when he used to get, the woman would go behind it and get dressed and throw the clothes over?
You know? Yeah, you could see the shadow.
Okay, we sit down in the restaurant, and they put one of those around her. So I can't see her now. I said, "How you doing there, honey?" "Good." Okay. You know, and the restaurant was like Prussian Italian, so it was like guys in powdered wigs and red vests bringing you spaghetti. It was like an episode of Star Trek where they're on a planet where you picked up the radar waves from different things and they're not quite sure what it is. It was like the goofiest.
Yeah.
Oh, and then I go back to my room, and I turn on the TV, and Star Trek is on. Oh, I'll watch Star Trek, and it's Kirk going Thursday. Fine. Yes, okay. And I realized they've edited out all the female speaking parts.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah. It's just the guys talking to the wall. And it was like the strangest thing. It was like all this, where like they go through every magazine with a straight razor and they could take out bra ads or panty ads, anything that has.
Is it still, it's still like.
No, that. I'm talking about 25 years ago.
Yeah.
Oh, it's much more liberal.
I got to ask a question.
Did you meet a guy over there who said he was working on a camel that he was going to sell you in 40 years?
Yes, exactly.
Yes, exactly.
No, I'm fascinated with the world of comics and just like, you know, whether it was the Eddie Murphy documentary or like Richard Pryor and how they start at a young age and get into it, because I think a comedian is the hardest thing to do because you have to be up there on stage on your own and get an emotional reaction out of people. What made you?
That's coming from a guy who won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, yeah.
So you would say that's harder.
Yeah, I think that's hard. No. I truly believe that. You know, like if the one gift, I almost believe it's a gift that you comedians have. And like, what made you, or when did you know, like, this is what I'm good at. This is what I want to do. Was you a little kid that used to tell jokes in front of the family? I think Eddie Murphy used to do that.
Well, you know, I remember as a kid getting laughs with certain things. You know, when mm-hmm. you're comedy, you just kind of remember everything that gets a laugh. I remember my mother had taken me. Nobody had child care then. Your mother just dragged you everywhere, you know. So my mother goes over to see my aunts, and they're sitting around, they're drinking wine. You know, I'm like four or five. And they're all getting a little loopy, you know. And I'm looking at these women, and I said, I thought it was a legitimate question. I said, "Hey, Mom, how come women have humps like camels?" And I hear, "Woo! What'd I say? You know, and I remember that. I didn't know why I got a reaction at the time, but everybody, "Oh, Kathy, that woman who's going to be trouble." You know, they're all cackling. And
that
I went,
was your first laugh.
Actually, my first laugh was in fourth grade in Mrs. Allen's class. It was the first real joke. She's telling us about Robin Hood and the Sherwood Forest and how cruel the sheriff of Nottingham was, you know. And she said, when the sheriff captured Robin's men, he would boil them in oil. And I put my hand up and I said, "Well, you know why she did that to Tuck?" And I said, "No, because he was a friar."
Give him a laugh.
No. So anyway, so I saw the teacher go, "All right, now that's not fun." But you started to smile, you know. Okay, so I got a reaction. And then later in the day, I'm walking past the teacher's lounge, and one of the teachers says, "Hey, Leno, come here. What did you say in class?" I said, "What? What did you say in class about Friar Tuck?" And I told him the joke. And the teacher went back to the teacher's lounge with my joke.
And shared your joke.
I said, "This is going to be good." You just kind of remember everything you say that gets a reaction or something. You know, yeah. Just sort of helps.
Are you guys here for a little bit? I know. Okay, I just got to take a quick break.
You want us to leave now? You here?
A little bit. Can we hear for Jay?
Oh, thank you.
And for Nick. Without them, there would be no Audrain Motor Week. And so we will take a quick break in Newport, Rhode Island, and be right back.
Ho!
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.